Whether in Buffalo Gap or Buffalo Springs, Fort Belknap or Fort Chadburn, or Sweetwater or Sweet Home, for the news of Texas, the source is Pratt on Texas. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas on primary runoff election day across the Lone Star State. Pratt on Texas is your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, finally, the Texas Association of School Boards does what many others have done. It parts company with the National School Board Association. But why did it take so long? There's an interesting story behind the story. And out of Uvalde, we've got an utterly horrific story today. At least 14 school children dead at the elementary school there. One teacher dead, an 18-year-old apparently went in there and was a mass shooter. They do have that person in custody, but he shot 14 students and a teacher. And I think the Uvalde Memorial Hospital confirmed two of the deaths, added that they'd received 13 children by ambulance for treatment. We're getting more and more information. This all happened around the noon time today, and at first the messages were just they had the shooter in custody, but there was no message that anybody had been shot. And late afternoon, just about showtime, we learned that tremendous carnage there at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, my friends. Terrible. Texas Public Policy Foundation files a key lawsuit over our rights, this abuse of cities and their extraterritorial jurisdiction, they call it. They call it jurisdiction without representation, and they're right. We'll talk a little bit about runoff election day, and I've got a lot of Texas news. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. It is a joyous day to praise the Lord for bringing rain to much of the high ground of Texas and some in North Texas, and some of the rest of you have already had some. I know some areas were skipped last night, but we're in extreme severe drought, and it's truly a blessing to thank our God for to bring some rains to us over the night. It's just so beautiful out on the high ground today. All right, my friends, I want to start with this lawsuit from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. I'm just going to read you their press release. Maybe we'll set up an interview with one of these folks coming up soon about the detail. Today, this was late yesterday, I guess, the Texas Public Policy Foundation filed a landmark lawsuit on behalf of its clients to eliminate governmental overreach by cities over citizens not living within city limits. Now, this audience is full of people who built businesses and homes outside of city limits only to then have themselves come under some form of control on their property, even before an annexation. And it's wrong. It's un-American. And it's funny how people who would normally, I know individuals who would be screaming bloody murder about it if something's even close to it through codes or anything affected their business in town. But when they're on city councils, all of a sudden, well, I mean, this is okay. I mean, we have to look out for our city. And in other words, it just becomes that clan. You know, I represent the city, so anything I do is right if we think it's in the interest of the city. It's just crazy. They write, for too long, these city governments have been able to regulate people and property outside of their borders under, quote, extraterritorial jurisdiction, end quote, trapping residents under a city council they did not and cannot vote for. This regulation without representation is not only wrong. They claim at TPPF it violates the Texas Constitution and must stop. Quote, the entire framework of ETG, that's the extraterritorial jurisdiction, ETJ regulation by cities has always been constitutionally suspect, as residents of an ETJ cannot vote for municipal elected officials, nor should the city be able to regulate those citizens or their property, said Robert Henneke, general counsel and executive director at TPPF. Like many Texans, our clients chose not to live in the city. For the city to claim authority to regulate their property anyway is unjust and unconstitutional, said Chance Weldon, senior attorney. This sort of regulation without representation violates the core principles Americans fought for at the beginning of our republic, said Christian Townsend, attorney at TPPF. Back then, we threw the king's tea in the harbor. This time, we're taking him to court. This is serious, and it is another pushback Oh, and I know. You'll hear the animals of local control and local governments who always want more of your money and more power. Yeah, but see, that's people chose to build outside of your jurisdiction. You have no right to regulate them. And you're kind of on the wrong side of what it means to be an American when you think that way. Well, we've got to do it for this, this. It doesn't matter. It's not in your jurisdiction. And you shouldn't be able to have control over them. This has really become, it's long been a problem. But the reason that we have to push back is because of the arrogance of so many city governments, both councils and city managers and all that kind of stuff, in really abusing these things, going beyond what, you know, 30 years ago they wouldn't dare do because people just thought it'd be morally wrong. Way to go, Texas Public Policy Foundation. Oh, and the Dallas Morning News is very upset. I think Cinemark is the largest. Yeah, Cinemark's based in Plano, the largest third largest theater chain in the U.S. The Dallas Morning News is copying the Houston Chronicle now and attacking businesses in their own backyard. They've written a big piece today, Dom De Furio. They're very angry. I mean, very angry. Why? Because a movie chain dared, in a span, you know, in a market where there are not even hardly any movies to show, dared show Dinesh D'Souza's 2,000 Mules. That's right. They're mad. I mean, they just attack them. And it's pretty funny. They said they gave it a massive audience with showings at 169 theaters across the country. See how the left is? They're not for free expression or anything unless it's... Now, if we don't want Drag Queen Story Hour put on by the local governments at the city, county, or city library, or the school library, we don't understand free expression. We're a bunch of Philistines. We don't want any... You know, you get it. But, of course, they have never had any problem with the theater showing Al Gore's stupid climate movies or anything. But, oh, my gosh, you show 2,000 Mules. Oh, and get this. Why they say that it's just outrageous that they would show it. Now, listen to who they quote here, who they reference as sources. The Dallas Morning News, that is. The owner of the location data cited by the documentary says the claims about its data proving election fraud are categorically false, according to, well, they didn't go ask the owner, according to a report from NPR, you know, the left-wing taxpayer-subsidized National Public Radio. Next line, analysis from the Washington Post, completely discredited, PolitiFact, you couldn't be more discredited than them, and the Associated Press, of course discredited, have determined the documentary's allegations to be misleading, if not entirely false. How dare Cinemark show 2,000 Mules? That's just, isn't that amazing? Why, you know, all you did, by the way, you stupid morons at the Dallas Morning News, since you're a bunch of lefties, why did you even write the story? All you did was send hundreds, if not thousands, of more people into a Cinemark theater to see it. Good grief, you people are dumb. All right, my friends, Governor Abbott, Abilene today, doing a press conference this afternoon about the fires. Nothing new to report there. He's just going to say, we're going to help out. We're going to, you know, that's what he said. It's normal. I've got some news. There was a little breaking story. I called the sheriff's office in Gaines County and confirmed there had been a plane crash near the Five Points Gin this afternoon, but I could not get any other information. The Seminole Sentinel said emergency responders DPS on the scene. Plane reportedly crashed near Five Points Gin. Could not determine if it was a spray plane, small plane, big, nothing. They wouldn't tell me anything, and I didn't have time to mess with it any further. But I do know that that happened. And this big tornado outside of Morton, because it was about a mile wide and filmed by people, the North National Weather Service put out a lot of photos. It's made the world press. I mean, it's all over. Out west of Lubbock, out near in the high ground, in the cotton fields and stuff near Morton. It was a huge one. So look around anywhere. You'll see this giant tornado, huge tornado touches down near Texas town. And it is pretty good video. We've got a lot more ahead right here on the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Pratt on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Communication's a top priority with commercial builder Tommy Klein Construction. A 20-year-plus Tommy Klein Construction customer said, when we call, text, or email, the majority of the time we get a response back within the hour. Many times they call us before we have a question with updates on our projects. And with Tommy Klein Construction, if there's a need for an adjustment or warranty, they give it top priority as if it were their own building. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them, 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
What happens if another party responsible for your injury doesn't step up to make your loss whole? How do you go about getting what you're owed for your loss? Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group can help get those responsible to actually accept and act on that responsibility. Ted Liggett does it every day with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Mike and Jason find and rehab good condition, good reputation work trucks that can help you and your business. Half ton all the way up to 2 ton work trucks. Mike and Jason are hands-on, finding trucks and working on them in the shop. Call them at 806-687-1115 or go to specialtytrucksoflubbock.com to get Mike or Jason's cell number. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
He's back and ready for more. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I've got more in the stack. Three tornadoes actually confirmed to have hit in the South Plains during the thunderstorms Monday night, Tuesday morning. Lubbock's police chief said he was in Kansas City Police Department. He's been listed on a list of candidates for new Kansas City police chief. He says he will not be applying for the Kansas City job. Commitment to Lubbock police remains the same. Put the thing to rest, except you got to watch the language. I will not be applying. What if they don't require you to apply? What if they make you an offer? Who knows? Attorney General Paxton announced a $19 million multi-state settlement with Ford Motor Company after the states investigated their alleged false advertising of payload capacity of model year 2011 to 2014 Super Duty pickup trucks and the real-world fuel economy of model year 2013 and 2014 C-Max hybrids. Ford used a deceptive scheme to calculate the maximum payload of pickups and all this other, and Ford's paying off and agreed not to make false or misleading claims about pickup payload capacity and fuel economy in the future. Back to this horror in Uvalde, the school shooting today. The shooter, according to the governor, was Salvador Ramos, an 18-year-old male who resided in Uvalde. He entered Robb Elementary School this morning and might have had a rifle. They think he had a handgun, but 14 students killed, a teacher killed, so 15 dead, and terrible, just absolutely terrible. There's really not much else to say about it. We're just going to get back to the other news of Texas and let the cable TV people go wall to wall with this. Evil is amongst us, ladies and gentlemen. Never forget that. All right. And every year I end up reporting on Go Topless Weekend and down in Galveston on the beach, Texas Go Topless Jeep Weekend. It's a big fun. What they mean, it's like taking it. We used to meet at the drive-in still. Could it? The Stars and Stripes, you know, and all the convertibles. That's what they're talking about. Take the top off the Jeep, run around on the beaches. And, of course, that turns into the girls in the bikinis and taking their tops off a little bit. You know what I'm saying. It's a big thing. This every year we get the same stories. More than 100 arrests, 38 people injured as 40,000 descended on the beach for a drunken weekend. And I think there was even a sheriff's deputy or somebody who was hit, run over. Yeah, Sergeant John Hamm suffered two broken legs and head injuries. A 22-year-old suspected drunk driver, Darius Danzel Gilbert, was arrested for that. I only mention it this year because it's made the international press. It does make for good photographs, and I picked that up in the Daily Mail. Oh, boy. Oh, and speaking of, oh, boy. Big Springs got problems. Oh, see, I didn't talk about this mayor's race. I will in a moment. First, a couple more headlines I want to bring you. Neiman Marcus is angling to get $5 million in incentives from the city of Dallas to keep their headquarters in downtown Dallas, you know, in Dallas where their headquarters currently is. They're looking at moving workers to City Place Tower on North Central Expressway and there'd be job targets and all that. Okay, whatever. I mean, that's your headquarters. That's the problem with this payout stuff. Then companies just use it to leverage money out of the pockets of taxpayers, and elected officials allow them. One big thing, I'm not a big fan of the Fortune 500 because Fortune magazine used to be fairly unreputable to me. They ranked the 500 biggest companies. Everybody says, well, we're a Fortune 500. The one of repute for decades was the Forbes 400. Now, Forbes is sold, and it's not very reputable anymore either in some ways, so it doesn't matter. But Governor Abbott announced today Texas now leads the nation to home with the most Fortune 500 companies. How many of you listening to these shows for over a decade and a half have heard me go through this over and over, where we're going, that you're living through a golden age? You know, the Empire State didn't become the Empire State overnight. The Golden State won the Golden State overnight. We are living through an incredible time. And now Texas, according to Fortune 500, has overtaken New York and California this year as home to the most of the large companies. That is simply amazing, because when I was in high school, that would have been thought, that was just unthinkable in the financial markets and the big corporate headquarters markets. And what it shows you is pro-business, good, sound policies do pay off, and we've got to keep that, and that's going to be very, very hard. New York couldn't keep it, and of course, they were always very corrupt. California was a pretty good state. It couldn't keep it. We'll see what happens. I want to get to this story, quick story. Big Spring had kind of a libertarian type and a, you know, small government mayor for a few years, Shannon Thomason. And Thomason was beaten overwhelmingly by former district judge Robert Moore in the May 7th election. I mean, a landslide. In other words, they didn't, about 80 to 20, they didn't want any more of Thomason. Well, I'm sure Judge Moore ran like they always do, the establishment of, you know, we'll do things right. We'll do that. This guy, he's a rabble rouser, whatever. Well, they've already screwed up. The Big Spring, city of Big Spring is the source of the CBS 7 reporting this, KOSA. Big Spring Housing Authority cancels illegally called meeting. What it appears is that the new mayor, went and appointed six additional members to the Big Spring Housing Authority's board. It's only had five members in its whole life. Whether he has that authority or not, who knows? But he appointed them, then had somebody that's not legally able to call a meeting of the housing authority, post that there's going to be a meeting, and then, of course, go in there with his new six board members and take it over. And it's an illegal meeting. And boy, they have to follow HUD regulations and everything else. I was once on the Lubbock Housing Authority board. And let me tell you, this, in fact, it says in the story, Ms. Fritz, the one that called the meeting, her contract specifically prohibits her from representing the housing authority in any manner. But that's who the new mayor, who's supposed to be so smart, he's a former judge. This looks like something dirty. And boy, striking back. Not only that, the mayor did not apprise the housing authority of any new appointees. No evidence that they've been sworn into office. I love this part. Given the highly questionable and likely illegal tactics taken by Ms. Fritz and Mr. Stewart, I have no choice but to cancel the meeting posted for this evening at 6 p.m. Also, I'm pleased to announce, listen to this, this is the former mayor, the hiring of Mr. Shannon Thomason for the position of interim secretary to the board. In addition to the statutory duties of secretary to the board, I've also requested that Mr. Thomason serve as parliamentarian for the board. Mr. Thomason, remember, the just defeated mayor, I think, salary as interim secretary will be, I think it's $1. $1 per year. Actions taken in accordance with Texas local government code. So they've already got a big dust up down in the Springs, my friends. We'll get to our Lone Star story of the day on the school boards. This is very interesting stuff, and I've got some things I've been collecting on that I think you will find very interesting. We'll start that in the next segment. Today in Texas history, my friends, in 1869, May 24th, 24 defendants went on trial in the infamous stockade case. On the night of 24 October 1868, a Marion County mob dragged five Republicans, arrested the previous night after a Republican meeting ended in a gunfight with local Democrats. Isn't it funny to hear people tell us how we've never been this uncivil? It just shows how stupid and ignorant people are. From the Jefferson jail and killed three of them. I've reported on that before, the mob thing. There were a white and two blacks the Republicans killed. After the killings of Reconstruction officials After the killings, the officials arrested some 35 suspects, eventually tried 24 of them. The trial involved testimony of 176 witnesses and a verdict wasn't delivered until 23 August 1869. Only seven of the defendants were found guilty of any of the charges, and it's unclear whether any of them went to prison. By the way, this is also the day in 1829, Almiron Dickinson eloped with Susanna Wilkerson. That's right. They came to Texas, too, as part of Green DeWitt's colony, and you know that he fought in the battle of, he had land in the San Marcos River, was in the Battle of Gonzales in 1835, was a lieutenant of artillery at the Siege of Bear, and at the Battle of the Alamo, he was captain in charge of artillery. His wife and child survived. Remember, Susanna, his wife, displayed her husband's Masonic apron to the Mexican general, and Santa Anna saved her and used her as a messenger to Sam Houston.
Don't miss what Pratt says next. More Pratt on Texas after the break.
I wouldn't be without my license to carry, as it protects me in New Mexico and other states, and it makes buying a new firearm much faster. West Texas Justice provides full Texas license to carry training at only $65, and instructor David Mead offers full service training even for beginners. David is a retired deputy U.S. Marshal and certified Texas license to carry instructor. Be wise, be trained, be legal. Inquire today at westtexasjustice.com. That's westtexasjustice.com. WestTexasJustice.com.
Comfort matters, and so does the safety and sanitation of your home and office. The family at Hart Heating and AC can help you make your home and your life cleaner and more comfortable. Visit HartHeatingAndAC.com and learn about modern, effective, whole home humidity control, UV light filtration, and other services that make your home healthier and happier. Stop the suffering and take it to Hart. Hart Heating and AC. Get healthier and happier. Hart, H-A-R-T, heatingandac.com.
License DACLA 1229 OE.
It's an Abilene Sunday tradition. Mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak. Fabulous veggies served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. All from Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene. Bell's Chicken Dinner House serves you fantastic fresh food every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. And on Sunday, it's the perfect traditional after-church lunch. The catfish is fantastic, too. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
If it moves in your warehouse or business with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving. Texas Battery is your source for the right battery for material handling equipment, from forklifts and scissor lifts to newer autonomous warehouse machines. If it moves with battery power, Texas Battery will keep it moving with the correct batteries. Rely on Texas Battery to keep your supply chain moving. Texas starts with TexasBattery.com. TexasBattery.com. That's TexasBattery.com.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Before we move to our very interesting Lone Star story of the day, I was giving you the Today in Texas History and ran out of time. I need to remind you that it's our look at Texas history sponsored by our friends at USA Investigations, providing surveillance, security, witness statements and interviews, criminal and civil investigations, including financial fraud, and much more. Learn about the impressive team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Now, the big news today, our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, Texas Association of School Boards to leave national organization. This is a piece at the Texas Scorecard. I believe they were first to report on it. Texas Association of School Boards is set to leave its parent organization, the National School Board Association, and they made the decision, I think, in a late-night meeting. School board members got an email last night, Monday night, saying within the next hour, TASB will announce that we will leave the National School Boards Association. Decision was made by the Board of Directors following the release of the independent investigative report on Friday. Now, this is all about calling you terrorists and labeling you, teaming with politicians, with political operatives in the Biden White House to term parents who go to school board meetings and disagree with things as terrorists. And so why did it take so long? Well, the decision by TASB, which should have taken place a long time ago, has interestingly been delayed. Now, I'm going to give you the story behind the story on that. But first, here's what we learned over the weekend, Friday late. National School Boards Association admitted Friday, this is from Breitbart's coverage, it's been in all the media, admitted Friday to colluding with senior White House officials to develop a letter asking the feds to investigate concerned parents speaking at school board meetings as, quote, domestic terrorists. So they did indeed do that. The NSBA investigators placed the blame for the letter from their end almost entirely. In other words, this guy they're going to try to make the scapegoat, but it's clear from the report a lot of people were involved. Almost entirely on Chip Slavin, who at the time was the interim CEO and executive director of the organization. He's at the top. Slavin worked closely with White House senior advisor to the president, Mary Wall, who, quote, had advanced knowledge of the planned letter and its specific contents and interacted with Mr. Slavin regarding the letter during its drafting. In addition, evidence indicates that White House officials discussed the existence of the letter, its request, and the contents of the letter with DOJ officials more than a week before the letter was finalized and even sent to the president. Ms. Wall requested an advance copy of the letter to provide to her White House and Department of Justice colleagues, quote, to see if there might be any options we can pursue here, end quote. Findings also claim the letter initially received positive and cooperative feedback from the White House, but the letter received significant political and media attention. As a result, NSBA faced criticism. In other words, they got found out. NSBA faces criticism for the letter as well as a deadline and its decline in its membership. Blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, Attorney General Merrick Garland issued a memorandum to federal law enforcement directing federal agencies to act consistent with relief requested in the letter. In other words, the Department of Justice, that's the FBI and all these other groups people seem to hold in high esteem these days, which don't deserve it anymore, not any longer. The Attorney General directed law enforcement to enforce the law. In other words, to go along with this idea that parents showing up to speak out against CRT, critical race theory, any other leftist stuff at school boards were potential domestic terrorists. And a lot of people got mad. Oh, it goes on. I mean, they admit to that. Their own report says they did all this. I mean, it's just not questionable. And that's why the Texas Association of School Boards finally acted. So here's the question. This is a great piece written way back in December that I've been holding on to until it was ripe by Sidney Henry at the Texas Scorecard. Now, none of the other Texas media that I know of did any work on this and did any good, you know, found this out. But here is the story behind the story from Sidney Henry at the Texas Scorecard. Headline, this is December 10th. Viola Garcia, the Texan fighting against parents at the National School Boards Association. See, a lot of state school board deals, they jumped out of this group right away because anybody with any basic sense of civics understood why this was wrong. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, or whatever. What they did was incredibly wrong. First of all, just the political collusion behind the scenes destroys the reputation of the organization to represent, you know, states and school boards of different points of view. But what they did, calling American citizens for standing, you know, all the Democrats keep talking about threats to democracy. Well, that's precisely what they said. If you go redress your school board, which is the basic American right to do to government, you're a potential domestic terrorist and could face federal investigation. So why didn't Texas, the state of Texas, well, I've never thought much of TASB to begin with here. In fact, I think they're a very negative influence in public education. However, why didn't they act? Well, we don't know, but they sure waited until this report came out. And I think, was it 17 other states or something that withdrew way back? Well, here's what Sidney Henry told us. Following that National School Board Association letter comparing parents protesting school policies to, quote, domestic terrorism, multiple state school board associations withdrew their membership and their dues from the NSBA. This is in December, folks. Early December this was written. So you see how long it's taken these cowards and linguini spine people at TASB. Because they probably, look, they're liberals in the legislature, the people that work there. Not all the school boards are. But I'm just saying that it had to get this bad for them to take any effort. And I know there's been some behind-the-scenes legislative pressure on them to leave this group. I mean, they're a private association. But so the TASB, Texas Association of School Boards, had not withdrawn either membership or dues. Well, people want to know why. One answer may be Viola Garcia, the Texan who runs the NSBA. Garcia, former Texas Association of School Boards president and current Aldine ISD school board member of 29 years, was selected as the NSBA president in April of, she writes, of this year, that's 2021, of last year. In September, Garcia co-signed the letter to President Biden and U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland that called for federal authorities to investigate parents as domestic terrorists following the weeks of talks in the White House. Did you see that in any of the big media coverage? I mean, the mainstream papers all covered this. I don't remember. It was probably there in a few of them, but I don't remember him pointing out that the letter was co-signed by a Texas-serving school board member and former head there at Texas Association of School Boards. Did you hear it? Yeah. Garcia was then appointed to the National, after she did this, she signed the letter, she was then promptly appointed to the National Assessment Governing Board, which oversees the only ongoing nationally representative assessment of what American students know and can do in various subjects. In other words, she got a political appointment there. That's the nation's report card, they always call it. Both the NAGB and the NAEP have major influence on curriculum development in public schools. The America First Legal Foundation is calling for an investigation into Garcia's potential quid pro quo appointment at the NAGB. Think about it. She and this other guy, they did this letter working in concert privately with the political people in Biden's White House. They do it, and then she gets the big appointment. That's why America's First Legal Foundation is saying there needs to be an investigation for illegal quid pro quo. The question is, why did the Texas Association of School Boards take so long? Well, remember what I just told you about this person. She's an Aldine School Board member of 29 years and former Texas Association of School Board president. Now, they knew she signed the letter back when it was signed. Why didn't they step away? Well, maybe all this talk now about, that report came out and it's unconscionable and we're leaving. Take that with a grain of salt, folks. It's more of an example of these lefty insiders using your money because all their dues are taxpayer money. That's what, you know, we need to stop taxpayer-funded lobbying. All their dues and stuff came out of your pockets, and these people, they only tend to react when they get found out in a way that is overly embarrassing that will hurt them. And I'm telling you, they were under massive pressure from legislators to distance themselves from this. It took them more than half a year. Because they don't really mean it, I don't think. Back in a moment on Pratt on Texas.
It's the talk of Texas. Pratt on Texas.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver, and the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
From Reagan to Biden, Bill Clements to Greg Abbott, here's a host who has been involved in it all while being self-employed and fighting government overreach, too. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. I did get a little more information. That plane did crash out in a cotton field near Five Points Gin in Gaines County down Seminole Way. It was a small plane. The Seminole Sentinel reporting that a local farmer spotted the plane when he was checking water around noon today. And I don't know if the pilot, who knows, fatality, whatever, we don't know. So you'll probably know later. I just don't have time to check into much more of it while we're doing the show. Now, my friends, there is a big, big story that's out there today, and it involves the feds foiling an assassination plot by ISIS of George W. Bush in Dallas. That's right. There is a big story out there today that that indeed there was a plot to assassinate George W. Bush in Dallas, and that they were trying to pay. They had money and everything, get somebody in the country. He apparently went to Dallas. They did surveillance on the president's home of an Iraqi national, and that story is out. Early this morning, I read a full there's a little AP story out that's real a summary, but there's a big, big piece out on that today. I can't remember where I saw it first, but it was detailed, probably at Off the Press, offthepress.com, by the way. That and Rantingly are kind of the new Drudge reports. I really like Off the Press a lot. It's run by really top people. And I think that's where I saw the story today. It was a link to somebody else's story, but it was there it is. In fact, it's up there in the top right. It's in Forbes. Forbes magazine had the exclusive. ISIS plotting to assassinate George W. Bush in Dallas. And so go to Forbes, Forbes.com, or go better, learn about offthepress.com, offthepress.com. It's on the page. All right, this is election day in the runoffs, my friends. We got a lot going on. Of course, tomorrow we should know some results, unless Harris County, on these statewide ones, they've got enough vote where it can matter. And their elections office is telling Republican primary judges to actually violate the election law. Some of them have said they're going to do it because they think it's okay. And the Chronicle's already running stories. Why? It could be a long wait for results in Harris County primary runoff races. Well, they're trying to blame it on the Republican Party. The fact is, even in their own story, buried, of course, late in the story, that 40 Republican judges are going to participate in the county's plan, which is a violation of election law. And they, down there, they show the election law. They even show the quotes from the Secretary of State's elections office pointing out that this letting the ballots get out of the custody into the custody of these people the county hires is wrong, and you can't do it, and they're going to do it anyway. So hopefully they won't mess us all up tonight for the statewide races. Of course, you know about Ken Paxton and George P. Bush. P. Bush, the one who's just made nothing but a mockery of the Alamo and said that it's presented too divisively and everything else. Railroad commissioner, you've heard about, you know, this stealth Republican, this leftist, Sarah Stogner, taking her top off, who's really being run by the tune of $2 million by the person she lives on the ranch of and is the legal counsel to, this trans whatever, this man that's an inheritor of a big fortune who lives as a woman. She's a fake. But the Democrats have a runoff too. Brownsville lawyer Rochelle Garza, who's formerly with the ACLU of Texas, so a far lefty, and Joe Jaworski, former Galveston mayor, and grandson of Watergate special prosecutor Leon Jaworski. That's the Democrat runoff for attorney general. Did I just get all mixed up? Okay, I didn't get mixed up. I just misspoke. That's the attorney general runoff, and then I was mentioned Stogner. That's the railroad commission runoff. Sorry, I can't get that image out of my head of her with the top off on the pump jack. It worked for it, got her in the runoff. That's the big thing there. My good friend Wayne Christian, recommend Wayne completely versus this fake Sarah Stogner for Railroad Commission. For Democrat, for Lieutenant Governor, I talked about that yesterday. That's been a nasty race, that Collier and Beckley. And then there's some big House districts, and they're every one of these House districts, Texas House districts, are critically important. The only ones the media wants to focus on, for the most part, are the three where you've got Senator Ted Cruz endorsing one side and Governor Abbott endorsing the other, and in all these cases, Governor Abbott endorsed the liberal Republican. In many cases, these are people who have actually been on the record very loudly against things the governor says he believes in. So you have to wonder what the deal is there. Those are big things to watch. The big thing the national media is watching in Texas is Cuellar, the last real pro-life Democrat in Congress, Henry Cuellar. And they call her a progressive challenger, Jessica Cisneros. She's a full-out left-wing revolutionary. She only lost 4 points last time against him. And of course, now they use dirty tricks and had the FBI do raids on him during the campaign to help her out. Don't kid yourself. The FBI is tainted from top to bottom now. It's policy not to do that during an election. And then later announced he's not a target of an investigation. You see how it works? But it brought in tons of money for her from the big left around the country. You can't trust these people anymore. Our institutions have been destroyed by these leftists. So they're all watching that one. It's a really big deal. I think that one of the things that voters need to be careful of in the primary tonight and the runoffs is all the stories that are going to be sort of establishment, what I was just talking about, establishment versus the conservatives and all of this stuff. Look, the governor came in to support incumbents, even incumbents who, frankly, any real Republican would be embarrassed of, like Casale and Glenn Rogers. And there's a real power in that. And the governor is very popular with people. And he also endorsed conservatives in various places around the state. It's just these runoffs where you have a head-to-head with a real good chance of a staunch pro-liberty conservative getting in there. The governor signed up with the wrong people. Don't draw too many conclusions about that and about what it means, even though the press is going to write about that a lot. And I will tell you, and the reason is, the turnout in these is extremely low, even in big races. Relatively a big runoff race, the turnout is just tiny. And it doesn't really tell you that there's a shift in the party. People say, well, the party regulars show up in the runoffs. Yes, but what I've learned over the years is that so do the fake party regulars, meaning the civic cheerleader, chamber crowd type people that like the big government stuff often, not always. But they get involved in these and their organizations too, and it's just not as instructive as they might have you believe. Now, the Bush thing, all the media has been about the Bush dynasty. I don't think that's what matters here. The fact is George P. Bush has been an extremely poor land commissioner. He has made massive numbers of mistakes, including some major ethical mistakes like forcing the suppression of an audit very critical of his own internal audit about the money and everything surrounding the Alamo redo way back in the beginning. He goes out there and talks about ethics. Nobody's asking him about this stuff. By the way, it's why you need shows like mine where you got people been around long enough to remember these things. The thing with Bush, whichever way it turns out, it's going to be hyperbole. Well, if he's rejected, it's because people hate Bush now, and that's all Trump's fault. That's bull. Lots of people in the state have been very unhappy with Bush, very specifically, because he has been bad on the Alamo, and he's been such a bad land commissioner that the former holder of the office, Jerry Patterson, didn't he jump in and run for it 4 years ago? He's just not distinguished himself as having any exceptional skills. And on the other side, the media hates Paxton, so you know the theme, the narrative there. It'll be interesting. We'll sum it all up for you on the show tomorrow, my friends. Thanks for joining us. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.